Invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3 this morning in our study of the book of Romans, which is the greatest explanation of the gospel in the entire New Testament. We are going to begin this morning in chapter 3 and verse 21 and continue through the end of the chapter. As I told you last Sunday, this verse, verse 21, begins a new section in the Apostle Paul's thoughts, and it is marked by the word but, which marks a contrast. From back in chapter 1, I believe it was verse 8, all the way through chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul has been talking about our need for righteousness, which is very simply summarized by the word sin. Because of sin, we are in need of something that is greater than our sin. And the only thing in the universe that is greater than our sin is the righteousness of Jesus. And so we needed His righteousness. Following Dr. Charles Ryrie's outline for the book of Romans, we summarize the very first part as righteousness needed because of sin. Now in chapter 3 and verse 21, Paul presents a new thought pattern in this section, and it is righteousness imputed by justification. This thought will take us all the way through chapter 5, which is our goal for this year. In the spring of 2021, we will pick up with chapter 6 and a new thought there. And then in the fall, we will pick up with chapter 12 and continue through the end of the book as Paul will continue to look at various aspects of righteousness. So starting today and for the month of September, we are going to look at righteousness imputed, which is all about justification. Now, as I said just a moment ago, verse 21 of chapter 3 is marked. A change is signaled here by that little word, but. So we're referring to this sermon today as the turning point. It's not only a turning point in Paul's thought pattern, it is a turning point in our lives. Because what we have in this passage that we're going to look at today is different from what Paul has said now in the preceding material. Again, let me remind you why we need the righteousness of Jesus. Why do we need the gospel message that Paul is presenting in the book of Romans? And the reason is sin. Paul very clearly, if you look back at chapter 3 and verse 10, has been very clear when he writes, there is none righteous, not even one. As we are born into this world, apart from God, without Jesus Christ, without knowing the gospel message, we are born into sin. Therefore, we need something outside of ourselves, something bigger than ourselves, to change us from unrighteousness to righteousness. Up to chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul has concentrated on our sin guilt. In God's courtroom, we are all guilty as we stand before God. But, verse 21, there is an answer. There is a remedy that will take you from guilty to innocent. Let me summarize the verses, the 11 verses that we're going to look at this morning. And I found this summary on the internet on Bible.org, and I thought it was a very good summary. And so let me share it with you. This passage is talking about the way in which God freely and graciously justifies any sinner, Jew or Gentile, as testified to in the law and the prophets, is not by works of the law, but by faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice. a sacrifice which demonstrates God's justice in dealing with sin and at the same time excludes all human boasting. Now, let's pause for just a moment and look at that word justified. It's a term that was used in the courts. It's a legal term. When it is used in the Bible of God, it means that God has declared the sinner to be justified, to be innocent, to be not guilty. It means that we have been declared not guilty of sin. Well, let's look at these 11 verses and see how all of that works together. See what God says about sin and about righteousness and about justification. This section begins with the revelation of righteousness. Look at verse 21. But, there's our change, the turning point, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. There were many people in the day in which Paul lived in the Jewish nation who believed that if they could keep the law, it guaranteed them that God would accept them because their obedience would make them righteous. Paul has just spent about 2.5 chapters refuting that idea. There are several things wrong with the belief that if you can keep the law, that you will become righteous. And the first thing is, no one can keep it perfectly. And that's because we are already sinners. Sinners cannot keep what is righteous perfectly. The second thing is, it's really not a matter of the outward keeping of the law. As Paul made clear in the passage that we looked at in Romans 3, verses 1 through 20 last Sunday, it's a matter of the heart. You can do all of the outward things that the law requires, and that was that whole section on circumcision. The Jews believed that if they kept circumcision, which was a sign of the covenant between God and Israel, they were okay with God. They were acceptable to God. God could not punish them. God could not find fault with them. And you can do, Paul says, all of the outward things that the law requires, but if your heart is not right with God, it doesn't make any difference. As we said last Sunday, that's the problem with lists. You can have the list. Do this, do this, do this, do this, and I'm okay with God. The problem with lists is that they're not a matter of the heart. So then if righteousness, and a good Jewish person would ask this question, Paul, if righteousness does not come by keeping the law, then where does it come from? And that's a major part of what Paul discusses in these verses, beginning with verse 21. And the answer is that God has revealed righteousness not in the law, he says, but apart from the law. This was not something new, that righteousness came apart from the law. This was something that had actually been revealed in the Old Testament. Paul says it's been witnessed by the law and the prophets. You see, the Old Testament had testified of the coming of the Messiah who would usher in the righteousness of God. Now, if you go back to chapter 1 of Romans with me and look at verses 1 and 2, Paul touched on this. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, a sent one, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God had chosen Paul to be a messenger of the gospel. He was a sent one with the gospel message, which God had promised in the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures for Paul and for everyone who lived in those days was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. It had not been written yet. And it was the Scriptures that testified of the Messiah. You might remember in the Gospels how it talked about the fact that Jesus had gone back to his hometown, the town of Nazareth, and there on the Sabbath, he had gone into the synagogue, and as was the custom, if a visiting teacher or rabbi came, they would ask them to read from the Scriptures. And he took the roll of Isaiah, and he opened it to Isaiah 61, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And right in the middle of that sentence, he stops, because the next phrase says, "And the day of vengeance of our God." The day of vengeance of our God was not the time of Jesus. That is yet a future time. And so he stopped right in the middle of that sentence, and he laid the scroll down, and he said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, Isaiah 61 is part of what we call the servant passages in the book of Isaiah, where the prophet describes the ministry of the Messiah, who was to come and deliver Israel and bring salvation to the world. So when Jesus said that the prophecy of Isaiah 61 was fulfilled, he was claiming to be the one about whom the prophet had written. He was proclaiming to be the Messiah who would bring righteousness to the world. Now in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, Paul says that the righteousness of God has been revealed. After years of waiting, centuries of waiting, God had finally revealed righteousness to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing that Paul talks about in this passage is the road to righteousness. Look at verse 22. "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified," there's the word that we looked at, "declared not guilty by God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I've called this the road to righteousness. It's in reality more like road signs to righteousness. Some of you older people here today will remember the Burma Shave road signs. When we were younger, as children, and we were traveling down the road, there would be these signs put along the road by a company called Burma Shave. And it was a marketing advertising campaign. But they were humorous, and they got your attention. And I can remember traveling with my parents, and we'd drive for several hours, and someone would say, "Boy, I wish we could see a Burma Shave road sign somewhere." They kept us entertained. Now, for some of you younger people here today who have never seen a Burma Shave road sign, you are missing out on an important part of your social cultural education. So let me share with you Burma Shave road signs. As you're driving down the road, there would be a road sign, and each one had just a short phrase, and you really didn't get the impact of the message until the end. This one says, "It's best for," and then another quarter mile down the road would be another sign, "one who hits the bottle to let another use the throttle." Burma Shave. Advertising was so much simpler and a whole lot more fun back in those days. Well, Paul gives us some road signs on the road to righteousness so that we can understand what is involved in our salvation, in being declared just by God, in being righteous. And the first road sign reads, it's through faith. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he made it possible for you to be righteous. But in time and space, that righteousness is applied to your life when you exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace you are saved through faith. So faith is one of the elements in receiving the righteousness of Jesus. Drive on down the road. The next road sign says is to all who believe. Again, verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Anyone who expresses faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. Do you remember the story of the Apostle Paul and the Philippian jailer? Paul and Silas had gone to Philippi. They were preaching the gospel. They're arrested for talking about Jesus. They're beaten. They're thrown in jail. And at midnight, an earthquake takes place, and not only do all the doors of the prison fly open, but all the chains fly off their hands and off their feet, and every prisoner is sprung free by the grace of God. And the jailer comes in, and he is petrified, and Paul says, don't worry, everybody's still here. Nobody got out. And he falls down before them and says, what must I do to be saved? And the Apostle Paul says simply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It is for anyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, they will receive the righteousness of Jesus in the place of the darkness of their sin. We'll drive down the road a little farther, and the next road sign says it's for everyone. Verse 22 and 23, there is no difference. And then verse 23, which is a verse that is very popular among Christians as they share the gospel, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One of the things that both Jews and Gentiles struggled with in the day that the Apostle Paul was sharing the gospel was the idea that Jesus was only for the Jews, or that salvation was only for the Jews. And Paul says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile when it comes to salvation. We might say today there is no difference between Americans and Chinese. There's no difference between Americans and people on the continent of Africa. There is no difference between Americans and people in Europe. Jesus is not a white man's God. He is for everyone. I get a kick out of the fact when I read people who want to criticize Christianity, maybe in China or in another, they say they don't accept a white man's God. Jesus wasn't white. He wasn't Caucasian. He wasn't European. He was Jewish. The reason that Jesus is for everyone is given to us in verse 23, and is because we're all in the same boat, and the boat is sinking. All, without exception, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As one commentator said, because all men, without distinction, fail miserably to live up to the divine standard. Listen, you and I, before we came to Jesus Christ, in our sin, we weren't even close to the divine standard that God expected. We weren't in the same ballpark But when Jesus came and he died on the cross to make atonement for sin, salvation became available for everyone. Well, drive down the road a little farther, and the next road sign says it's free. Look at verse 24. Being justified, how, class? Freely. Being justified freely. Salvation is a free gift. It doesn't cost you anything. I was on a particular website this week, and as part of a promotional campaign, they were offering a free gift. I thought, I'd like to try that gift. And I did. It came in the mail this week. But there was a catch. You had to pay shipping and handling. You see, that's not a free gift. I had to pay something for it. Can I tell you, the shipping and handling was far more than the shipping and handling. With God, there is no shipping and handling charges. He gives salvation without cost to the receiver. It is truly a free gift. And if you drive down the road a little farther, you'll read the sign, it's all by grace. Look at the end of verse 24. Not only have you been justified freely, but by His grace. Grace means that it is given to you apart from any merit that you have, apart from any work that you can do. You don't deserve it. You can't work for it. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. Well, the final sign on the Burma shaves always said Burma shave. The final sign here simply says righteousness. The righteousness that God will give you is through faith to anyone who believes, to all who believe, and is free because it is the work of God's grace. Well, that is verses 21, 22, 23, and 24. The next thing.